In Proverbs chapter 13, let's read the first five verses of this chapter. I'm titling the message this evening, Scorners, Transgressors, and Liars. I don't pick the subject, I just pick the titles. The Lord picks the subject, and I usually just take words if I can from the text and use that. And I'm not repeating myself because I'm getting older. I'm repeating things because the Lord repeats them. Amen. Amen? Notice as we begin in verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Heavenly Father, we do ask again this evening for thy blessings, thy anointing to be upon the reading of thy precious word. Father, we ask again this evening that you speak to us, that you teach us, Lord, that you help us with the verses that we're coming to, not only to see the truth here, but, Lord, to be obedient to them. And, Father, we thank you again for this week. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to serve you, the activities that we all have been involved in. And now we thank you for this time that we can assemble together, and, Lord, and we just thank you for the privilege to be able to pray and to preach and to fellowship together and to sing the songs of Zion. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week we finished up chapter 12, and we were in verses 19 through 28. We covered several verses, and we're going to look at five verses tonight. And we kind of closed out last week in chapter 12, and actually in verse 28, and he says, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." As we step into chapter 13, we got a number of different subjects, but we have some very similar things that we've already studied. Now again, my title here is Scorners and Transgressors and Liars. We're also going to be talking about the righteous, because what we're doing is that this is a continual contrast of the righteous and the unrighteous. The book of Proverbs is short sayings that speak in broad terms or broad principles. Now, we have already considered subject about words and the tongue. In chapter 10, verses 19 through 21, we titled that A Multitude of Words. In chapter 11, verse 9 through 12, The Hypocrite. Chapter 11, verse 13, The Talebearer. And then just a week or 2 weeks ago, we were in chapter 12, verse 11 through 18, and we titled that Honest Labor and Truthful Words. So God continues to give us repetition for a reason, and that's one of the reasons that we keep coming back to these thoughts. Now, I try to approach them from different angles, and sometimes we give different verses, sometimes we give some of the same verses, but I'm just trying to be obedient to what God has said. And so if he repeats it, I need it, and if I need it, you probably need it as well. Amen. Well, notice as we come here, he begins this section, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time in verse 1. We will actually, Sunday morning, we will be looking at grandfathers and fathers, and Sunday night, we'll be looking at the dew of youth, and we're going to be looking at sons this time instead of daughters. The first part of the sermon, Sunday night, is going to be similar to Mother's Day, but then when we get part of the way through it, we'll transition into the youth of young men. And but notice he says, he begins this, and what is interesting, I'll probably say this again Sunday night, Well, what is interesting is how many times that fathers and sons are addressed in this book. In chapter 1, I'm not going to turn to these, but in chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, speaks of a wise son, as here, one that feareth God. Chapter 2 and verse 1, we find this again in chapter 3, verse 1, and also verse 11 through 21. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, there's a great commentary there on the subject of sons. Also, in that same chapter, verses 10 and verse 20, we find it again in chapter 5, verse 1, and also in verse 20. Chapter 6, it's just amazing at what we see here. Chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3, and also in verse 20. In that passage, he said, "My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother." We would see it again in chapter 7 and in verse 1, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee." This is a continual fault that we have so far in this book. Now notice he says here, he said, "My son," let me back up, let me start again. He says here, I was still thinking about chapter 7. He said in verse 1 of chapter 13, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." Those are strong words. We find in this passage, again, a wise son, a scorner, a foolish son. We find the righteous in verse 2 and the wicked. We find also in verse 3, the righteous and wicked. In verse 4, you come back to the subject of the sluggard and the diligent, which we've covered already a number of times. And then in verse 5, where we'll close tonight, we see the righteous man that hateth lying, but we see also the wicked man that comes to shame. In other words, he's disgusting, and his end is shame. But in verse 1, just to make a few comments on this, he said, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction." And we know what the opposite of a wise son is, right? It's a foolish son. So a wise son will listen to the father, and they'll listen to the mother. That's what we see in Scripture. A foolish son, and the word scorner is used here in this text, a foolish son is one that will not listen to reproof or rebuke or instructions. And again, they are basically scorners. Now, we come to the Scriptures and we find that in 1 Samuel 2, verse 22 through 25, Eli honored his sons above God. He had some wicked sons, but he never dealt with them as he should. We find in Revelation chapter 3, in verse 13, I believe in verse 22, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And we find here that, again, the opposite of a wise son that will listen. Thank God for the ones that will. A wise son that will listen. But we find here the foolish son that will not listen, and he says in verse 1, "But a scorner heareth not rebuke." The word scorner is used a number of times in the Scripture, and it's used a number of times in the book of Proverbs, probably at least 10 times in the book of Proverbs. You'd find it in chapter 1 and verse 22, in chapter 9 and verse 7, and there's a number of other places. In chapter 4, verse 24, it said, "The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men." I mean, this is strong language. So what is a scorner? A scorner will not listen to rebuke, will not listen to instructions, will not listen to the father or mother or the word of God. One who scorns, one who is a despiser of the things of God. One who is a scoffer, that is used in 2 Peter chapter 3. It's to make light of the things of a father and mother or the word of God. It's to disregard the things of God. And we're going to talk about that again Sunday night, the wise son, the one that will follow instructions, and we'll talk about also the foolish son as well. This word scorner means to neglect, to mock, or to make light of. In other words, to be disobedient to the father and mother, and when you're disobedient to the father and mother, you're disobedient to God. We find this again in chapter 3 and verse 24. Chapter 19 and in verse 29. Chapter 14 and verse 6. Again, it's used a number of times. Notice in Psalms chapter 1. You're very familiar with it. You can quote it. We sing it. But notice in Psalms chapter 1. In other words, if we refuse the faithful rebuke of men, like fathers or godly men, we will not hear the rebuke of God. Because God many times speaks to us through men. He speaks to us through the Word, through His Spirit, and also through others. And God puts others in our lives as we're growing up. It's father and mother and pastor and other church members. But notice the first two verses. I know that you're familiar with this, but I thought we'd turn here and go back and take one other verse in Proverbs and consider it. If you're taking notes, 2 Chronicles chapter 36. I will read that to you. You can also write down Jeremiah 5:3 and Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 2. But in 2 Chronicles, before I read in Psalms, and I'm just going to read verse 16, just speaking of the people in general before they went into captivity to Babylon, it said, "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words." Notice they despise the words of God. How do we despise the words of God? It's not just the person that stands out and mocks. It's the person that disobeys. I know people who tell you they love God, and still yet they're in disobedience to God. And this passage goes on and says, "Despise His words and misuse His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people till there was no remedy." Notice in Psalms chapter 1, we're talking about wise sons and those who are foolish and are scorners. They refuse to hear the truth. He said in verse 1 and 2 of Psalms 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Back in verse 1, again, here, this is what we see all through Scripture. We have the contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous, the godly and the ungodly. But in verse 1, he mentions the counsel of the ungodly, mentions the nor standeth in the way of the sinners. And last of all, he mentions the seat of the scornful. In other words, the righteous person that's blessed of God and walks with God will not, does not, sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. What is the seat of the scornful? It is the counsel of the scornful. In other words, the righteous person does not listen to the counsel of the scornful, those that are lost, that will always give bad advice. Notice in Proverbs chapter 29, I've just come to the conclusion in my Christian life over the years that God takes His Word much more serious than man does, and even most Christians. Notice in chapter 29, the very first verse, and he says, "He that being often reproved," that is, corrected, instructed, "he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck and shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." When he says without remedy, he means there is no more choices and no more opportunities. I think we have a sermon titled Without Remedy. Well, come back with me, because we have the positive and the negative here as we read through this. God gives us the truth. And he says here in verse 1, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." So that's just a blanket statement that God says. He said, this is the way it is. Young people, as well as older people, they're going to be either on one side or the other. They're going to have a love for God, or they're going to be disobedient to His Word. They're either going to obey Him or be disobedient. There is no riding the fence. I had a preacher stop by here yesterday. Hadn't seen him in, I'm going to say, 15 years. I think we talked on the phone probably about 7 or 8 years ago when I was on the radio. He called me and thanked me for a sermon I preached on the radio. But we sat down and we were just talking about things like this, and just we spent about 45 minutes or an hour together, and we were just discussing where people are at. And he said, do you think there's really that many people backslidden? I said, well, I take an opinion from Scripture that when we talk about backslidden, we're not talking about somebody professing Christ and staying in a backslidden state for the next 20 years. I don't believe that. I don't believe it's possible. The reason I don't believe it's possible, because of the doctrine of chastisement. I believe in the doctrine of chastisement. God will either bring us back or He'll take us on. And so we sat and talked about the fact the real problem with most people out here in our communities is that they have, some of them, they have light, but they do not have life. They have light. In other words, they've heard truth. They have light, but they do not have life. I'm talking about eternal life. So a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Take two sons and a home. They all hear instructions. They hear the same instructions. And sometimes one will obey and another one will not. People are not backslidden. When you get backslidden, I believe in the doctrine. I believe it's in Scripture. The Bible uses the word. We'll find it in Proverbs. But you don't live for 20, 30 years backslidden. The Lord just says, well, I'm just going to let them hang out there. That's not the way it works. Because you know what God calls the individual that doesn't get chastised in the book of Hebrews. Those that belong to Him, it's just like your children. They belong to you, and you're going to see to it they walk in the right way. And God's going to do the same thing. I get tired of hearing people talk about backsliding, even though it is a biblical doctrine. Now notice, by the way, David was backslidden for a short period of time. And all you got to do is read about 3 of the Psalms, and you'll find that he was the most miserable man that was walking up on planet Earth physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He was nearly dead because of what he had done. God dealt with his heart. A lot of people are just like King Saul. They got some light, but they don't have life. Notice as we come here, now verse 2. In verse 2, we have this statement. And he says, "A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. Speaks of the fruit of the mouth. Good speech brings good fruit. And when we have to eat our own words, it doesn't taste too good if we've not done the right thing, does it? But it's pleasant if we have done the right thing. If you're taking notes, you could write down chapter 12 and in verse 14. And by the way, chapter 14 does mention the backslider. We'll be dealing with that in the next chapter. But in chapter 12, verse 14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. We find also, and I'll just give this to you in Psalms chapter 39. Psalms chapter 39 and in verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. So we're to bridle our mouth. Again, this is the fifth sermon in the book of Proverbs, just dealing with the tongue, or at least part of a sermon anyway. Psalms 141:3. Psalmist asking the Lord to set a watch upon his mouth. Here in this text, he says in verse 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. In other words, he will eat pleasant things, and he will enjoy the blessings of his speech. When we speak forth truth, that which is right, and kindness and so forth, even when we speak forth the gospel and so forth, we can rejoice in that. That's good, and it brings pleasure to us that we have spoken the right thing. So he says in verse 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. But he says, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. They shall eat violence. Let's come back to the good part just for a moment. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 2. Let me say something about this before we get to the violent part. In Ezekiel chapter 2, and just want to read two verses from this chapter. Really, you can go back and consider the context. But notice in chapter 2, I want to read verse... I'll read verses 8, 9, and 10. 8, 9, and 10. When we think about this, about our words, the entrance of words, have you thought about that? The entrance of words is important. In other words, what we take in, that's important. What we take in, we are what we eat, are we not? Physically and spiritually, we could say that. And so we need to be careful of what we take in, but we need to be also careful of what exits our mouth. In other words, we know that in Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 20, 3 tells us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But notice in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is speaking, is to speak to the captives in Babylon. And notice as we read in chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, he said, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house, talking about the Jews. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, and behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. In other words, Ezekiel was given the word of God. But I want you to notice as we come down to chapter 3 in Ezekiel, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. And if you're taking notes, Revelation 10, verses 8 through 11, the word that we are to take in, that we are to give out, that word is sweet and bitter at the same time. It's sweet when we bring it in. It refreshes the soul. But when you've got to preach it, it's a little bit different. But notice he says in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, and in this same chapter, again, he's talking about the captives, and Ezekiel is referred to as a watchman in verse 17. But he says in verse 1, moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. And he said, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. When he says he uses the word belly and bowels, he said, fill yourself with the word of God. And then he says in verse 4, and he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. So the word must be taken in, and the word is sweet to us. And he says, but you're to go now and deliver this. And he said, you'll have some hard-headed people in verse 9 and 10. He said, I'm going to make your head hard so that you can stand against them. He said, speak my word. That's where the bitterness comes in sometimes, of the rejection, you know, of people that we try to minister to. Well, notice now back in the book of Proverbs. So he says here in verse 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Again, good, that's pleasant. He enjoys the blessing of his speech when he's spoken the right things. And then he says, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. The transgressor shall eat violence. We do know, and I've mentioned this several times already, but in chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. When he speaks of violence here, he's talking about the injury will return to the individual. The person that speaks forth God's word. Now I'm going to give you a few passages you can write down. But when a person speaks forth not the word of God, I shouldn't say the word of God, when a person speaks forth things they should not speak, then we find that they're going to have to eat their words, and it's not going to be pleasant to them. The person that speaks forth the truth always, he's going to have satisfaction out of that, and that he's spoken the truth. But those who speak falsehood, those who lie, as we're going to see in our text here in chapter 13, it's not so with them. The Turks had a saying, probably still do, the tongue destroys a greater hoard than the sword. And how true that this is. In James 1:26, you can jot that down. We've turned to it, I think, a few times in the book of Proverbs series. But in James 1:26, if a man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, there's that word bridle used the second time, and he says, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. A man can say one thing and be something else. And as we've said many times, all of chapter 3 is dealing with the tongue. And in chapter 3 and verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's why we must get saved. the deadly poison will come back to the one that has spoken it. He speaks forth deadly poison, and that poison will come back to him. He will have to eat his words. Notice in verse, coming back here to verse 3 again, or verse 2, I should say, in chapter 13. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. Write down Proverbs chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. Verse 30 and 31. He said, they would none of my counsel, they despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. What they spill out will come back to haunt them later. And again, there's a multitude of passages throughout the Scripture. Matthew 12, verse 37. Every idle word shall be brought into judgment. And also in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 11, speaks of this as well. Now notice as we come to verse 3, and we're still talking about the tongue here, in verse 2 and 3. In verse 3 of chapter 13, he said, and he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. As human beings, especially as Christians, you'd think we'd finally get a hold of these things. And sometimes we still have struggles, you know, in them. But he says, he that keepeth his mouth, the first part of this, the positive side, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. In other words, he's going to save himself from a lot of harm and trouble and destruction. In other words, be careful with our words. Put the bridle on, as the Bible says, a spiritual bridle. Listen to chapter 23. You can turn there if you want. Chapter 23. In chapter 23, we... let me see. It's going to be chapter 21, 23. Sorry about that. He says in chapter 21, 23, he said, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Notice in Ecclesiastes in chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 and verse 6. Probably ought to read the whole thing. But notice verse 1 and 2. He says, keep, that ideal of keeping is watching. Keep in guard on. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash. In other words, don't be quick with the mouth. And he says, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thine words be few. And then in verse 6, he says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error, that wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hand. God's quite serious about this, is he not? Now coming back to our text, Also, if you're taking notes, Psalms chapter 34. Verses 12 through 14. It's a tremendous passage on this as well. He says, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? In other words, we want to be happy, right? We want to be blessed? We want to be happy? Well, it's sort of like a question. Well, it is a question. There's a question mark there. And he said, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Here's the answer, verse 13 and 14. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. So the answer is in the following two verses. Ephesians 4:27, we're told, give not place to the devil. We can give the tongue to the devil sometimes. And in the context of all of that, he's talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. There's a man by the name of Herod in the book of Acts. And he had a great speech sitting on his throne. I want to make sure I give you the correct verse. That's going to be verse 21 through 23. 21 through 23. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in his royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto God. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of God and not of man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. So, again, the importance of words. Verse 3, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life." In other words, put a bridle on the mouth. Keep a guard upon the mouth. We've got to always do that. Then he continues in verse 3, and he said, "But he that openeth wide his lips," in other words, he's got a big mouth, he's a fool, he's a scorner, "but he that openeth his lips shall have destruction," shall have destruction. Chapter 12, 13, "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble." And again, here's a quote by another author. He says, "A cautious person thinks twice before he speaks once." I think Matthew Henry said that. And that's not the whole quote, but I just kind of cut that short. "A cautious person thinks twice before he speaks once." And you know that it is very difficult to retrieve, almost impossible to retrieve words once spoken. It's like sending out an email, sending out a text. Hard to get that back. Just about impossible. You can go and apologize, you know, but the words, they're out there. And that's sort of what he's talking about here. Ecclesiastes 3:7, he says there's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. And so we just got to keep those things in mind. Now, when we come to verse 4, we've already covered this a number of times. I keep this very brief as well. But he said here in verse 4, he said, "The soul of the sluggard the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing." And he goes on and says, "But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Now, that was a part of our sermon last week. We found the not only the lying lips in chapter 12 and verse 22, but we found the prudent man in verse 23. We found the hand of the diligent in verse 24 and the slothful. And also verse 27, "The slothful man that roasteth not that which he took in honey." So we just on that subject just last week. Actually, both of these subjects. So verse 4 said, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing." That was a daydreamer. He desires without effort. He takes no pain, no opportunities to gain anything, but he wants it. And he says here, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." The word fat has the idea of being satisfied. So he'll have his needs met. Now let's come to our last verse this evening. And notice with me in verse 5. In verse 5. And again, this is nothing new as we come through the book of Proverbs. The Lord's surely going to make sure that we get all of this, right? He says, "A righteous man hateth lying." And that is true. We see that all through the Scripture. We see it here in our own assembly, in our own families. A righteous man hates lying. We don't want to be lied to. We don't want to see somebody lie to somebody else. We abhor all sorts of lying, do we not? And especially false doctrine. When we see false doctrine, which is a lie, being preached, you know, to somebody else, we hate that. So he will not turn, the righteous person will not turn from the Word of God. So he says in the beginning of this, a righteous person hateth lying. I got to give you a few verses on this. I want you to turn with me to Psalms. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Let's do this. Psalms 119. Let me take just a few passages. Notice Psalms 119. First of all, verse 29. Psalms 119, verse 29. We believe that the author is David, of course. But notice in verse 29, he says here in this passage, he says, remove from me the way of lying. Now this is a prayer request, so to speak. And he says, and grant me thy law graciously. Make sure he had no concept of lying in his life. But notice also in verse 163, and he says this, he said, I hate and abhor lying, but the law do I love. And that's parallel with what we're just looking at. Look at Psalms 101. Psalms 101, verse 7. Psalms 101, verse 7. He says here in this passage, he said, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. And he said, he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. And we know that all liars have their part in hell. Revelation 21, verse 8, and Revelation 22, verse 15. But notice now in Psalms 15, I almost sung this tonight. I think we just recently sung it. Notice in Psalms 15, and I'll read the whole psalm. It's a short psalm. And I want you to notice the importance of the heart, the tongue. He said in verse 1, he said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? In other words, a question. Now he's going to give an answer. Here it is. He that walketh upright and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. But he goes on. He said, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contempt. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. That's an interesting statement. Verse 5, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. We'll come back with me to the latter part of verse 4. Notice the latter part of verse 4. He says, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. In other words, he's made a promise to someone or made a decision about something and thinks later, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But he follows through with his promise. There's a man in the Bible, there's several, Jephthah, you remember him? In Judges chapter 11. You read in verses 29 through 35. He made a vow to God. He said, if you let me win these battles, whatever comes out of my house first, I'm putting this in my own words now, he said, I'll give it as a burnt offering. In other words, I'm making this vow to you, Lord. The Lord gave him the victory, and the first thing that came out of his house was his only child, a daughter. And of course, in sense of the word, he swore to his own hurt. But he never changed his mind. He kept the vow. And the daughter encouraged him. You've made this vow. And I'm putting this in my own words. But the daughter encouraged her father, says, keep the vow you made to God. In other words, he never had any grandchildren. Some believe he actually killed his daughter. That's ridiculous. The text doesn't tell us that. But he never, she never married. Stayed a virgin the rest of her life. But he kept it. It says here, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Make a promise and you live that promise out. Amen? You give your word about something and you keep your word. Well, notice as we come back, we're going to close here in verse 5. Let me read it again. And this man is not the only one that we see that did things like that in the Scripture. But in verse 5, he said, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome, that is, disgusting, and cometh to shame. You can write down 2 Kings 5, verse 27. And we're told not to lie, Colossians 3, 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 9, being honest with people. And what about the three Hebrew children? In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, the righteous will suffer by truth than sin by lying. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we thank Thee this day for this opportunity again to assemble together. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, we pray Your blessings upon the remaining of the service here tonight, upon the singing of the hymns, upon the prayer requests and our time as we kneel here and, Lord, seek Thy face. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.